You are standing on 7th Avenue at West 33rd Street, in front of Madison Square Garden. Above ground, a circular sports arena. Below ground, a low-ceilinged warren of fluorescent corridors, tile, and signage that funnels 600,000 commuters a day through the busiest train station in the Western Hemisphere. This is Penn Station. It was not always Penn Station. Or rather, it was always called Penn Station, but the building above your head used to be something different. Until 1963, the structure on this block was a Beaux-Arts cathedral of pink Milford granite, two city blocks long and one wide, modeled on the baths of Caracalla in Rome. The waiting room was 150 feet high. The concourse was a glass and steel vault that flooded the platforms with daylight. 84 Doric columns held up the colonnade along 7th Avenue. 25-ton stone eagles, 22 of them, kept watch from the parapet. The Pennsylvania Railroad demolished it. They demolished it on purpose, over the objections of every architect and preservationist in the city, because the railroad had decided that the air rights above the station were worth more than the station itself. The replacement opened in 1968. It is what you are standing on top of now. McKim, Mead and White completed Pennsylvania Station in 1910. Charles Follen McKim spent 5 years on the design. He sent his draftsmen to Rome to measure the baths of Caracalla in person. He wanted travelers arriving in New York to feel that they were entering a city worthy of the Roman Empire. The result was the largest indoor public space in New York City. The waiting room alone covered an acre and a half. The general waiting room had vaulted coffered ceilings, travertine marble floors, statues representing day and night, and a clock above the stairs to the concourse that became one of the most photographed objects in the city. The concourse itself was the engineering masterpiece. A glass and steel barrel vault, exposed iron lattice painted pale gray, that admitted daylight onto the platforms below. Travelers came down the staircase from the waiting room and saw the trains laid out beneath the glass. For 53 years, this is how you arrived in New York. In 1962, the Pennsylvania Railroad announced that it had sold the air rights above the station to a development consortium that planned to build a new Madison Square Garden and an office tower on the site. The railroad had been losing money on long-distance passenger service for 2 decades. The station was expensive to maintain. The air rights were worth $50 million. The trains would keep running. The platforms would stay where they were. Only the building above ground would be removed. A small group of architects organized a protest in August 1962. They picketed in front of the colonnade with signs reading "Save Our Heritage" and "Don't Amputate, Renovate." There were perhaps 200 of them. The picket line lasted 1 day. Demolition began on October 28, 1963. The eagles came down first. Cranes lifted them off the parapets. Workers wrapped them in canvas and lowered them onto flatbed trucks. Four were donated to museums and railroad collections. Most of the rest were driven across the Hudson into the New Jersey Meadowlands and dumped at a landfill near Secaucus. The granite columns came down next. Each column weighed 70 tons. The demolition company broke them into manageable sections with jackhammers and dynamite. The fragments were trucked to the same landfill. Photographs from 1965 show the broken columns lying on top of one another in the swamp grass, half submerged in the marsh. You can still drive past the field where they ended up. The columns are still there. The eagles are still there. The marsh has grown over them. The architectural historian Vincent Scully wrote one sentence about what New York had done to itself. One entered the city like a god. One scuttles in now like a rat. The replacement was built in stages between 1964 and 1968. Madison Square Garden, the round arena, opened on top. Below ground, the platforms were retained and a new concourse was built around them, low ceilings, fluorescent lighting, no daylight, no central waiting room, no sight line longer than about 200 feet. 600,000 people pass through it every weekday. The architect of the new arena was Charles Luckman, a former president of Lever Brothers who had retrained as an architect in middle age. He defended the design in the trade press by arguing that travelers in 1968 spent less time in train stations than travelers in 1910 had, and therefore did not need a cathedral. The waiting room of the old station, he pointed out, was usually empty. This was true. It was also beside the point. The destruction of Pennsylvania Station did one thing the Pennsylvania Railroad had not anticipated. It produced the first piece of historic preservation legislation in New York City. In April 1965, 2 years after demolition began and 1 month before Mayor Robert Wagner left office, the city passed the Landmarks Preservation Law. It established a Landmarks Preservation Commission with the authority to designate individual buildings, interiors, and historic districts as landmarks, and to prevent their alteration or demolition. The first chair of the commission was Jeffrey Platt, an architect who had picketed in front of the Penn Station colonnade in 1962. The first major test of the new law came in 1968, when the Penn Central Railroad, successor to the Pennsylvania Railroad, announced plans to build a 55-story office tower on top of Grand Central Terminal. The commission denied the application. Penn Central sued. The case went to the United States Supreme Court. In 1978, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the commission. The decision in Penn Central Transportation Company v. New York City established that municipal landmark protection did not constitute a taking requiring compensation under the Fifth Amendment. It is the foundational case of American historic preservation law. Grand Central is still standing because Penn Station was destroyed. The lens of this tour is the question of what was torn down to build the city you are walking through. Pennsylvania Station is the answer the city did not know it had given. For 50 years, New Yorkers had assumed that great buildings were permanent. The cathedrals of the Gilded Age, Penn Station, Grand Central, the New York Public Library were understood as fixed features of the urban landscape, not as objects that could be removed. In 1963, the Pennsylvania Railroad demonstrated that they could. What you are standing on is the lesson the city took from that demonstration. The lesson was not do not demolish your monuments. The lesson was find a way to stop the next demolition before it happens. The Landmarks Preservation Commission has, since 1965, designated more than 38,000 individual landmarks and 150 historic districts. Most of the buildings older than 100 years that remain in New York are still standing because of a law that was passed in response to the destruction of one building that no longer exists. The eagles are still in the swamp. The columns are still in the swamp. The clock from the waiting room is in a private collection in Pennsylvania. The granite that was once the colonnade is broken in pieces in a marsh in Secaucus, and the marsh grass has grown over it, and you can drive past it on the New Jersey Turnpike if you know where to look. You are standing in the building that replaced it. The ceiling is 8 feet above your head. The trains are running underneath you. You will catch your train and you will leave. From Penn Station, walk north on 7th Avenue to West 42nd Street. Turn left and continue west to the New Amsterdam Theater at 214 West 42nd Street. Or, for the next stop on this tour, take the 2 or 3 train uptown to East Tremorne Avenue in the Bronx, where Robert Moses ran 6 lanes of expressway through 60,000 people's living rooms.